Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the February 21st edition of the Your Living Brand Live show. It is February 21st. It is a beautiful day, and I want to welcome each and every one of you. My name is Ben Baker, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. I have a company called Your Brand Marketing. What do? We work with our clients to understand the brand message, market vision, and value of what you do. We consult, we teach, and we speak. And what we do is we figure out who you are, what you do, why you do it, who you do it for, and most importantly, why people should care. Why people should care is the difference between being a commodity, just being some, you know, one of a thousand different vendors that any particular customer can have, and being the person that people sit there and go, you know what? This person takes care of me. This person provides me with a service nobody else does. This person provides me with value that nobody else does. And that's what this show is all about. This show is all about understanding how do you create value. And every week, what we do is we interview another guest and find out how do they create value for their clients. Because there's 8 billion people in the world. Not every single one of them is going to be your client. But you know what? If you can figure out who your niche audience is and why they care about you and why they find you valuable, they're going to tell your story for you. And they're going to go and find customers like them that want to do business with you. So this week, we're interviewing Josh Steinle. Now, Josh comes to us all the way from China. He is an amazing individual. He has an international marketing company and he's an international speaker. But what makes him interesting is the fact that he's literally written hundreds of articles for some of the top magazines and news articles out there. And what he's done is he's taken that ability and that understanding of how to communicate and turned it into a series of courses. And those series of courses teach others how to write for large magazines and how to write for large publications and be able to get their message out and become influencers. The name of his company is Influencers, Inc. Now sit back, enjoy the interview, and I'll be back once we're done. Josh, thank you very much for coming on board today. How are you today?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on, Ben.
Yeah, well, I have to say good morning in Shenzhen. You know, it's way late in the afternoon for me, and I guess it's, what time is it, about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning our time?
8:30 here in the morning in Shenzhen. It's bright and sunny, or at least as bright as it can be with a sky full of smog.
Well, one of these days I have to come to your part of the world. It's one of the few areas that I actually have not been to is China. And, you know, it's next on my bucket list.
It's an amazing place. It's fantastic here. It's growing like crazy. It's a very dynamic environment to be in.
So tell me, let's get into the story. Let's get into the story of Josh Steinle. Tell me about, you know, who you are, what you do, why you do it, and who your customers are and how you know why they find you valuable. I mean, you've got a phenomenal story to tell. You got MWI, you got Influencers Inc. You're doing an incredible amount of travel these days. Love to find out about what you're doing and why you do it.
Sure. So I've got these two businesses you mentioned, MWI and Influencer Inc. And MWI is my marketing agency. I started it in 1999 when I was a college student, and I basically failed for about 14 years and failed forward. I mean, I survived, but it was barely surviving. It was surviving enough to keep me doing it, not surviving enough to make me rich or anything close to it. So instead, I actually ended up with a ton of business debt. But around 2013, and one business story goes into the other. So around 2013, we were on the verge of bankruptcy. We had hired on an account manager who lost all our clients and ruined things really fast. And we were about to go under. And I went to my friend, Cheryl Snap Connor, and I was like, can we do some PR? Like, maybe I can get some of those badges on my website. Like, we need help, just anything. Like, and I've never tried PR before.
Right.
And Cheryl said, you know what you should do is you should write articles for these publications. And I thought, well, I guess I enjoy writing. I didn't think of myself as a writer or anything, but I had a blog and I enjoyed blogging. So I thought, yeah, it sounds like fun. And then she introduced me to her editor at Forbes, and I learned about the Forbes contributor process. So I got into Forbes, started getting all sorts of clients left and right. It was growing like crazy. It was incredible. And that saved my business, and then it grew my business like crazy. Over the past 5 years, we've generated about $5 million in revenue from the writing that I've done for these publications that we can track back to that writing. And so it's been huge, and it led to a book deal and a TEDx talk and hanging out with Richard Branson on his island. I mean, all sorts of crazy stuff. So then people started coming to me and asking, how did you do this? How did you build your business with this thought leadership stuff and writing and speaking and all this? And can you train me to how to do this? Mm-hmm. And at first I would answer questions and say, yeah, I can give you some tips, but people wanted more than that. And so I started looking into this and I thought, you know, I should launch a separate company around training people on how to do this because a lot of people are interested in it. So then I launched Influencer Inc. and now it's a training events courses company. We have courses on how to become a contributor to these publications. We're doing events, virtual events, live events. I'm working on a book. We have a community on Facebook. So it's turned into this whole movement of personal branding and how people can become thought leaders. So those are the two things I'm involved in today.
And you know, that whole thought leadership thing and the whole influencer thing is, you know, that's the next, you know, the next generation. It's not influencers as in the YouTube. I mean, you're not talking about the YouTube influencers. You're not talking about, you know, 2 million or 5 million people on Facebook or on YouTube. You're talking about influencing as in being a thought leader, being someone that can actually contribute and get people thinking in a different direction.
Right. Yeah. It's not the YouTube type of influencer, definitely. So it's more people who say, you know, I've got an idea. I've got a thought in my head. I've got a message I want to spread that I think is valuable. I have experience that I've built up over time that I want to share with people. And they just don't know where to start. They think maybe they should write a book. Maybe they should get on the speaking circuit. Maybe they should have a column in a magazine, but they're not sure what to do. They're not sure where to start. Those are the people that we take and we say, let us guide you through this process. Figure out who you are, who your audience is, where you should focus, whether you should do the book or the contributor thing, writing for publications or podcasting, whatever it is. But let us help you walk you through that process and build your personal brand and then build this platform.
Well, exactly. And you know what? It's a quagmire. As someone who's writing a book, you know, who's someone who does write, it's a quagmire. You don't know where to start at times. You have absolutely no, I mean, you have this wonderful thought, you have this wonderful idea, you start typing, but writing the book or writing, you know, the blog post is the easy part of it. It's getting people to identify with it. It's getting people to believe in it. It's the marketing that goes behind it. It's the, you know, getting it published, getting it, you know, getting people, the right people to read it. So, you know, the book tours start and the speaking tours start and all of a sudden all the magazine things and getting people to actually go from 1,000 views on a particular article to 10,000 views on a particular article, that's challenging. And it takes time and it you have to do it deliberately.
Yeah, I did it all the wrong way. I made all the mistakes the first time and then I learned and then I realized, gee, if I had had somebody to guide me through this would have been so much easier. And you always think it's going to be cheaper doing it on your own. And then you realize, no, it takes a lot of time and you end up spending money on 5 wrong things before you get to the right thing. And so those are the people I'm trying to help are the people who are like, I just want to get it done. I want to get it done fast. I want to get it done the right way the first time.
Right. Because, I mean, you can muddle through pretty much anything. But it takes time and it takes effort and you're probably going to fail the first time. So to have somebody that can sit there and take you by the hand and say, look, I've been in this hole. I know the way out is huge. Mm-hmm. You know, it's having that people that you can sit there and say, well, what do you think about this? Or, you know, could you help me with this? Or can you take a look at this and let me know what you think? Those are valuable things.
Yeah, there's just all these little things that you just don't know about and you don't even know the right questions to ask sometimes. So for example, when I'm helping people get into contributor positions at these publications like Forbes, Inc. and Entrepreneur and such, one of the things I tell people is, you know, don't pitch multiple publications at once, because if you send the same article into multiple publications, then what if two of them publish that article? Now you've got a real problem and you could burn your bridges with both of these editors.
Right.
This is just the type of thing that you just don't think about until you get into it. And then it seems like common sense once somebody tells you, but before somebody tells you, it just doesn't even pass through your mind. And you
right.
could burn a bridge, and it could be that opportunity could be lost forever because you didn't have that advice. And so having somebody who's there, who's been through it, who can say, go here, do this, talk to this person, you can take 2 months of trial and error and condense it down into 10 seconds of advice.
Right.
And that's enormous time savings for people. And so that's what people really want, is they want that coaching, that mentoring to say, yeah, just tell me how to do this the right way the first time and not mess up and not embarrass myself. I did all that for you.
Well, and that's good to have somebody who's done that. You know, it has, you know, I mean, there's so many coaches out there. There's so many people that their business failed and they went, oh, I'm going to become a coach. Someone who says, well, I can teach you how to do something, who's never done it before. But if you can latch yourself onto somebody who's actually been there, who's actually done that, who's actually, you know, made the mistakes and come out the other side and have them show you the right way, you're far better off.
Right. And there's a lot to be said for failure, but you want people who have had failure and success, right? Who
Absolutely.
Have done it the right way and made it work. And you want them to have some failure too, because if they don't have failure, they don't know where the limits are. They don't, I mean, there's something to be said for having a mix of both in your experience.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's true. I mean, when it comes to your experience, I mean, you've written for multiple, you know, you've written for Forbes, you've written for Entrepreneur Inc., I believe as well. You know, do you write differently for different publications?
Definitely, because every publication has its own tone. I mean, Forbes is more straight-laced, suit and tie type of stuff, whereas Mashable is social media,
Mashable's
pop culture. I mean, it's all, and TechCrunch is, you know, techie stuff. Mm-hmm. So every publication has its own personality, its own tone, its own voice. And you have to write for that tone and for that voice. You can't take one article and say, well, I'm going to publish this article in, or I'm going to pitch this to three publications. It
right.
needs to be customized for each one. Now, sometimes I'll have a article and it gets rejected by one publication. Before I take that to another one, I rewrite it to make sure it's in the right voice or the right tone and it's going to the right audience, mm-hmm. or that it matches the audience.
Yeah, and that, I think that's the big thing that people don't understand, is that before you can start writing, you have to understand who your audience is. You have to understand who are you writing for, and who are, you know, what are the type of things they're looking for in terms of the publication? Because if you write, you know, as you said, Mashable, you may write one way, TechCrunch another way, because the people that read them may read both, but they read them for different reasons, and they're looking for different things from the different two types of publications.
Yeah, and I did not have this figured out when I started writing for Forbes. I did not know who I was. I didn't know who my audience was. I just thought, I know about entrepreneurship. I guess I'll write about entrepreneurship, but there was no connection there to my business or anything I was doing. And it took me about 6 months to figure out, you know, this is fun, but why am I doing this?
Right.
And then I thought, well, I run a marketing agency. I know a lot about marketing. I'm trying to get marketing clients. Maybe I should be writing about marketing. And once I started writing about marketing and sharing marketing tips for essentially my clients or my potential clients, all of a sudden I started getting all this business coming in because my message aligned with my audience, which aligned with my business. And it wasn't like I was writing articles promoting my business saying, hey, look at my business, you should come hire me.
Sure.
It was just that I was writing articles saying, hey, here's how to do this marketing stuff. Here are my secrets. Here are my tips. And then people read that and they say, oh, this guy sounds like an expert. Oh, he runs a marketing agency. We should go hire him.
Right.
Whereas before, they might read my tips about how to be an entrepreneur and say, oh, this guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about entrepreneurship, but they're not going to hire me.
I don't need an entrepreneur.
Yeah, they don't need an entrepreneur. But with the marketing stuff, there was that connection. So that's where I was really able to benefit in a tangible way.
Right. So it's being able to understand what is the value that you can provide to a specific audience. And that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're writing or you're selling or if you're marketing or whatever, it's understanding what is the value that you can provide to a specific audience.
Yeah. And I mean, I was providing value writing about entrepreneurship too, but it just, I wanted to leverage that to grow my business. Right. And that was the wrong message to grow my business.
Sure.
Now, if I wanted to become a contributor because I'm retiring and I just want to give back and I want to give my advice, then yeah, I could write about entrepreneurship and that would be great. And I'd connect with that audience. But if I'm running a marketing agency and I want to grow a marketing agency, or I'm running some other type of business and I want to grow that business, my message has to align with my audience that's looking for what I do, what I'm selling.
Demonstrate your value.
Yep.
Yeah. It's that demonstrating that particular value. And that's what it's all about. So when you're looking at a new publication, because I mean, you write for a variety of things. What are the first things you do? Do you research an editor or do you research the publication, or, you know, is it a combination of both? I mean, how much time does it take before you would actually sit there and actually pitch an editor, you know, within a new publication? What are the steps you would take to be able to make sure that you're doing it right and you're speaking the right language to the right person?
Well, for example, I was writing for Forbes and I wanted to get into Entrepreneur magazine. So to pitch Entrepreneur, I went out and I said, okay, I want to get into Entrepreneur because I like Entrepreneurs, and Entrepreneurs another popular publication. I should be in there. Mm-hmm. And entrepreneurs need marketing too. So I said, okay, so I want to get into Entrepreneur magazine. Who are the editors? That was my first question. So I went out, did my research, figured out who the editors were and who I should pitch there. And then I started reaching out. And the way I reached out wasn't to say, hey, I write for Forbes, please let me write for Entrepreneur too. I started following one of the editors on Twitter and I started looking at what he was tweeting. I started reading his articles. I was reading a lot of Entrepreneur articles to make sure I understood that magazine and the tone.
Right.
I found other people who are writing for Entrepreneur magazine. I reached out to them and said, hey, what's it like? What's the format? How does it work? And I got to know that publication and I got to know about that editor. So when I finally reached out to him on Twitter and I just asked him a few questions, I already knew a lot about him and I wasn't just asking blindly, and he could tell, hey, here's a guy who's done some research that is serious about this. And so we communicated on Twitter a little bit, and then I got his email address and I was able to reach out by email and say, hey, you know, I've done my research. I've written for Forbes. Here are my credentials, essentially, or my proven track record. And I'd like to write about this. And I've already talked to other people who write for you, so I know what I'm getting into and everything. And so then he accepted a few submissions from me, and then I got in and I was able to get that position. But it took a little bit of time. It wasn't something that I did immediately. Now, there are people who just send in a cold pitch and they get lucky and they get in the first try.
It happens.
But I know a lot of people who have pitched Entrepreneur, Inc., Forbes, 3, 4, or 5 times, and they get in on the 4th or 5th or 6th try.
Right.
So it can take a lot of time. It can take a lot of rejection. And for me, whenever I get rejected, I just take that as a learning experience and say, okay, what can I learn from this? What did I do wrong? What do I need to do next time? Sometimes it's just timing. Sometimes they're just not looking for anybody, or they're looking for somebody different than who you are. And that's fine. You just wait and you try again in a month or two. But just trying over and over again, figuring this out, doing the research, I've been able to get into over 20 publications this way, and some are easier than others. Some I still haven't gotten into. I've been rejected a lot because I've tried to get into a lot. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of hard work sometimes. And I've had one article that I pitched to 5 publications and nobody's ever accepted it. And I mean, rejection.
No, 6th time will be lucky. You'll get in there.
Yeah. But maybe the 6th time it'll work. It's still sitting there. I can still submit it somewhere else. So we'll see.
Now, what a lot of people don't understand is writing for publications is not a get rich thing. In fact, it's you know, I mean, you know better than I do, but I mean, you get paid pittance, if not anything.
Right. I've only been paid for 2 out of 300 articles that I've written. And the only reason I got paid for those was because they paid me when I didn't ask for it. They just sent me a check and it's like, well, okay, I'll take free money. I'm not that stupid, but the other publications, most of them don't pay. And even when they do pay, they pay a very little bit. So Inc. sometimes pays some of its writers a little bit based on how many views their articles get. Forbes pays some writers. But for me, it was just easier to say, you know what? I don't want to get paid. I just want to write. I get paid, but I get paid in a roundabout way. I get paid through the exposure, the personal brand building. rather than getting paid directly by the publication. Because once you get paid by the publication, then it becomes a job. It's an obligation.
Exactly.
And I didn't want that. I wanted the freedom to post when I want to post, what I want to post. And I didn't want that kind of job relationship. I wanted it to be just more freedom.
Right. And that's a big thing, is to sit there and say, you know, it's a means to an end. Writing for a large publication, or for any publication for that matter, for the most part is a means to an end. It's brand building. It's getting content out there, getting good content out there, getting your name known, getting people to associate you with value and with you being an expert in a certain area. And that's where the business is going to come from. Certainly not from writing the articles.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, if I were focused on getting paid $50 for an article versus the millions that it's generated for my business, I mean, that would be really short-sighted. And I don't want to lose focus on that. That the reason I'm doing this writing is not to make a couple $100 a month. It's so that I can build something bigger, so that I can spread a message, I can change lives, and build my business in the process.
Right. It's influencing your part of the world, and let those people influence other people, and off it goes. You know, as I said, I can't change the world, but I can influence my little piece of it. And hopefully the people that I influence will influence others. And that's, you know, I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah. And that's the great thing, is we are all influencers. We're all thought leaders. We all are experts at something, and we can touch people. We can change lives. And that's the greatest satisfaction that comes to me. I mean, I've been able to make a lot of money off of my writing. I've had amazing experiences. I've got this book doing all this stuff. But the biggest satisfaction for me is when somebody comes to me at an event or emails me and says, I read this article and I applied the tips or the advice you were giving and it changed my career. I got this new job, or it changed my business, or this great thing happened. And that's the moment where I'm like, it's all worth it. Like, I don't care about any of the other stuff. Like, that is the big payoff right there.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, you know, in the end, that's what's really important. What's really important is that you feel like you've moved the needle, that the work you're doing is of value, you know, and that there's satisfaction in that, and satisfaction in other people going ahead and doing great things because of the stuff that you're helping with.
Yeah. I mean, that's the stuff that's what matters. That's what you remember. I mean, yeah, I'll look back in 20 years and I'll be like, oh, it was great. I got into Forbes. It saved my business. It helped my business grow.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, that's transitory. That's temporary stuff. But to be able to remember, like, yeah, somebody read my article and like it changed his whole career path and he became successful in all this stuff. And he credited one of my articles as being that inflection point for him. I mean, that's incredible. That's amazing.
So when let's get back to the courses that you teach. I mean, there's MWI, but there's also Influencers Inc. When you're teaching these courses, I mean, you know, there's obviously different levels that you teach at. I mean, there's people that are just absolutely beginners, and I'm sure there's people that are just looking for that, you know, that extra little tweaking edge, and they're already pretty good. They're already, you know, halfway there. But they need that expertise to be able to move, you know, get them over the line. You know, so how do you approach those different types of writers? Everyone from the bare beginners who are looking just for somewhere how to start, to the guys that really need the hands-on hand-holding to get them over the line into the finish line.
Yeah, so with the course that we have set up to help people become contributors, it's really set up so that people can go through it at their own speed and focus on the parts that they need. So they can look at the course and say, well, I need this part, this part, this part. I don't need these other parts. I'll just skip over that.
Right.
And we set it up that way on purpose so that it's more of a resource that people can access when they need to access it, rather than something that they have to go through every step in order or something. So that's how our course is set up. And then we also have these add-on coaching services that people can sign up. They can pay a little bit more and they get access to a coach. And we have a Forbes contributor who's one of our coaches, and she coaches people on editing, writing, headlines, everything, gives us hands-on advice for the people who need that additional help. Some people need it, some people don't. So some people will come in and they'll sign up for our course and they'll just do it themselves and they'll watch the course stuff and that's all they need. That's great. Mm-hmm. Other people, like, we work with some people who English is their second language and writing's just tough. for them to get through. They've got the great story in their head. They've got great experience to share, but their technical knowledge of the English language just isn't quite there to be putting articles into Forbes or something.
Right.
And so they need more help. And so we have resources to give them more help through the coaching, the hands-on coaching that we're giving. So now there are other people, there are people who come in. We had a guy come through our course and he pitched, I think he pitched Forbes like 2 weeks after he started our course, got rejected, took his pitch over to Inc. magazine and got accepted in like 3 weeks. It was like super fast.
Wow.
That's like a record. Like that guy came in and it was just like, boom, that guy obviously did not need a lot of help. I mean, he just zoomed through it and got in super fast. We have other people where we're taking a much more gradual approach and saying, hey, you know, you've got a lot of work to do to get ready to pitch a Forbes or an Inc. Or an entrepreneur. Let's start out with like Thrive Global or some other publication that's a little bit easier to get into. And maybe you can get in there and then you can leverage that. Other people have come along and they say, hey, I want to get into Forbes. But then we say, you know what? There's this niche publication over here that nobody's heard of, but your audience has heard of it. Nobody else. The world doesn't know it. But your audience is over here, and really you're going to get better results pitching this publication, and it's going to be easier to get into, and that's going to be better for your business. And so we've gotten them into some niche industry publications instead, but everybody has different needs. So they've got the course if they want to do it themselves and they can figure that out, or we can offer the coaching and then we really help them through the process and hold their hand.
Right.
And then we just give them as much help as they need. If they need more help, they get more help. If they don't need so much help, they can just access it when they need it.
Now, you also, you said something really interesting about people with, you know, whose English is a second language. You know, I've heard of people ghostwriting books. Do people ghostwrite, you know, articles for people as well?
They do. You can, I know people out there who don't write any of their own articles at all. In fact, they don't even know what's being published under their names. I don't
That's dangerous.
That. Yeah, I mean, it's dangerous. And although, I mean, you look at Donald Trump and you think maybe
he could
use two ghostwriters, you know?
Yeah.
So it's also dangerous sometimes to say what you think.
Mm-hmm.
So although it apparently is working for him so far. So go figure. So anyway, so there are people who have ghostwriters. Oftentimes it's executives. So an executive will say, hey, I'm too busy to write, but I want to build my personal brand.
Right.
And so they want to get a ghostwriter. And we actually offer ghostwriting services too, but I prefer not to even call it ghostwriting services because it's not like we get in and say, we're going to write all your articles for you. It's more that we say, we are going to help you through this process. We're going to guide you. We're going to give you editing. We're going to give you suggestions. We can help with research, but really you need to be involved in this process of coming up with ideas, of telling us that the content's right or wrong. So, I mean, we can help out a lot with the process, or you can go hire somebody else, a ghostwriter, to help out with the process. But at some point, you need to be involved in that. Otherwise, it's not really you. And then you're building a false personal brand that is fake. And it just
doesn't work out. It's not authentic.
Yeah, it's not authentic. People will see through it in the long run.
Right.
So, I mean, take Richard Branson, for example. I'm sure that Richard Branson uses ghostwriters, but probably the way that he does, I mean, he's got all these books and he's got all sorts of content going out on LinkedIn. He's got 12 million followers on LinkedIn. And so I'm sure that he's got people working for him, but he probably sits down and they interview him and then they go write the content based on what he said in the interview.
Yeah.
So that makes it really easy for him. He can just have a phone call, talk for 5 minutes. They ask a bunch of questions and then they go back and they use that to write the article.
Sure, but it's still his ideas.
It's still his ideas. It's still his thoughts. It's still his words. And he probably has a really good ghostwriter who understands him and can match his tone really well. That's probably how his books and his articles and everything get written. But yeah, that's different than just hiring a ghostwriter and saying, yeah, I want to hire somebody to create 40 articles for me. I don't really care what they're about as long as they get my business going. Like, that just doesn't work that well.
Right. Yeah, as you said, it's not authentic. So, believe it or not, we've been talking for 25 minutes. It's great. I mean, it's amazing how quickly this thing goes. I have one last question for you, and then I'm going to let you go. Because, you know, you got to get on with your day, and, you know, it's the end of the day here. But you know what? I loved having you on the show. The last question I always ask somebody is, when you leave a meeting or you hang up on a phone call and you leave a meeting and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
For me, the biggest thing is integrity. Just the way that I was raised was that you don't lie, you're honest with people, you treat people right. And so, and being in business, if you're an entrepreneur for 20 years, you're going to have experiences where people think that you're dishonest, no matter how good you are at it. Yep. It's just going to happen. Stuff happens, and it's happened to me too. And I hate that more than anything else. I hate for anybody to think that I'm a crook or that I ripped them off or that I'm lying to them or anything like that. And so if like people can think that I'm a terrible marketer, that's fine. People can think I don't know what I'm talking about when I'm writing. That's fine. Whatever, you know, yep. That doesn't hurt my feelings so much. But if somebody walks away from a meeting with me and thinks, I think that guy was lying to me, I think that guy's a crook, that's something that I really care about a lot. And so at least I would want people to walk away from a meeting and say, you know what? I don't agree with anything that guy said, but I think he's being honest and he believes it and he's got integrity. That's the main thing that I want to preserve.
And I think that's huge. I mean, if we can be authentic, if we can have integrity, if people can believe that the words that come out of our mouth are what we truly believe, you know, whether they believe in it or not believe in it, you know, as long as they understand that we're not out there, we're not trying to lie to them, we're not trying to cheat, we're not trying to, you know, be dishonest just to make a sale.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, living a life of integrity. You know, I don't know about you, but it helps me sleep well at night.
Yeah. And I mean, say what you will about Donald Trump and what he says and his policies or whatever. Nobody's disputing that he believes what he says.
No. No,
and that's probably why he won the election. That's probably the primary reason right there that he won, is because people said, well, at least I know he's not lying.
That's right. I mean, and they said, you know what, like him or hate him, you know what, he's going to say what he believes, and he's going to stand up for his beliefs. So you got to admire at least that about him. If you don't like his politics, you don't like his politics, but at least you have to admire him for the fact that, you know what, he says what he believes.
Yep. He's got that, if nothing else.
Josh, thank you very much for being on the show. Hang on for a second. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody, and I'll be right back.
It was great having Josh on the show today. You know, his point of view is always valued. It's always on point. And you know what? He does. Josh does try to live an authentic life. And, you know, when he's putting stuff out there, when he's creating information, it's always stuff that he believes. And you know what? That's the key, is to say what you believe and do what you believe is right. And you know what? If you do that, people will be drawn to that. And that's a great message that came out of the talk. Once again, my name is Ben Baker. My company is Your Brand Marketing. We speak, we consult, and we teach on brand, message, market, vision, and value. Our job is to help you figure out who you are, what you do, why you do it, who you do it for, and most important, why people should care. Come talk to us. Now, we hope to see you every Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning on Pacific on the YourLivingBrand.live show. Have a great day and see you next week.